Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning. And it's 9 o'clock, so that means we're going to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bringing in our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well this morning. How you guys doing?
We are doing well as well. And another guy doing well is Tom Brady, back in a conference championship game, the 14th time in his career with the Tampa Bay Bucs, obviously the first time in the NFC title game. What do you think it says about Brady that he's gotten this franchise that's been so down in the dumps for so long here to this point in year one?
I mean, it's definitely remarkable. I think people forget, unless you were a Buccaneers fan, it's hard to forget how bad they really were. I mean, this was a really bad team, you know? It seems like a while ago that Jameis was throwing, you know, 30 interceptions and you know, Bruce Arians was pulling out what remained of his hair. But for Tom to not only come in and affect the team the way that he did, I mean, I don't know. Look, it wasn't popular, but before, obviously, camp convened, Tom put a lot of pressure on guys to get out, you know, get together, practice, not really practice, but, you know, try to find some sense of chemistry and rhythm amongst the offensive players before camp convened. Obviously, in the pandemic, it was not a popular move by Brady, but I think it did help with some of those guys. I think he did press them to add Antonio Brown, also not popular, but something that, you know, has helped the franchise. The idea that they went all in on Tom really did come to fruition. You know, that was something that Jason Light, the general manager, and the head coach, Bruce Arians, that was the term they coined by going and getting Tom Brady. And I think every move that they've made since then really has reflected that. And I think what's really interesting is if Brady's serious about returning in 2021, and he really does feel that 2021 is their peak, quote-unquote, peak season, what's happening right now is even more impressive, particularly if they can manage to make it to the Super Bowl.
So, Charles, NFL announces this week, basically, the combine isn't happening. What's it going to be like? What's the impact of that on this offseason?
They're changing formats. I enjoyed that term. We're changing formats, and the format is just not happening. So, look, this is going to be interesting because I think one of the COVID sort of holdovers that I think could end up happening is how personnel departments handle their scouting. I was talking to a GM about, like, prior to this announcement even coming out, about the combine, and, you know, he told me, he said, look, last year, because of the schedule change, a lot of the things happening later at night, he had a quick turnaround. He only went in for a couple of days. He said to evaluate. I know it was to go and, you know, illegally talk to agents about free agents and whatnot, but he pretty much indicated, like, hey, I don't feel like I have to go anymore. Like, I don't need to be there for the whole run. And I said, well, what about talking to these kids in-person interviews? He's like, I did the whole thing on live stream or whatever, you know, I think it was Microsoft Teams or whatever they're using at that time, Zoom. This was even before all this stuff got up and running. But he said that it for the 15 minutes that we had the kids, you know, it was fine. You know, I felt like I was in the room. I was watching the whole thing happen. And anybody we want to go in depth on, we were able to do that on campus later, or, you know, in private, you know, visits. And so it felt like teams were starting to consider rolling back a little bit of their combine presence. Some teams didn't send their full scouting staff. And so I think this change is just going to open up more possibilities in terms of what teams have to look at and how they feel about the information that they're coming out with. I feel like one interesting thing about COVID is it's forced a lot of teams to push information digitally rather than the, I don't want to say archaic, but just sort of the tradition of all the in-person stuff. I think a lot of that in-person stuff is you're going to see at least portions of it peeled back as teams say, hey, we're figuring out that we don't necessarily have to be in person for a lot of the things that we do now.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, the saga with Deshaun Watson continues to unfold. Seems very frustrated. Reports coming out suggesting that some inside the Texans organization believe that he's played his last snap with them already. How do you see this ending in Houston with Deshaun Watson, and what do you think about all this?
He's elevating it. I mean, that's the interesting thing about this is that I think when initially he was unhappy with how the process had been working, one of the things I'll tell you about Watson is that he has been uncomfortable for a couple of years now in that organization in terms of how they were building, the punishment he was taking. I think the fact that, you know, they were constantly tinkering with the offensive line, I think he was frustrated to some degree with Bill O'Brien. So this isn't new. It didn't all sort of happen at once. I think there was sort of a build up there where he felt like, I'm taking a beating here. We're not really turning a corner with Bill. There's all this, you know, this front office shuffling. You know, when the DeAndre Hopkins trade happened, I actually think that was sort of what snapped things for him. I think he had kind of had it at that point. He was like, look, either they're going to start to make changes and take into account how I feel about these changes, or I'm just not going to stay here because I feel like I'm starting to, you know, portions of my career are getting wasted. And however you feel about that, it is what it is, you know, and he is a player who I think feels like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and so many other guys before him, quarterbacks reach a certain level and they want some input or to be taken seriously or at least someone to listen when they talk. And I think he feels like that's just not happening here. The Texans, when he initially essentially voiced his displeasure internally about wanting to be more involved, I think they felt like, you know, this wasn't something that would graduate to the degree that it has. And then now that it has, and you have other people like Andre Johnson, who's still got a ton of respect in that locker room, you know, other people connected to the Texans leaving, saying things about Jack Easterby and the front office and ownership and, you know, Cal McNair getting called Tommy Boy internally there. Like, it's just a huge mess. And I think the reason why people in the Texans feel like he may have played his last snap is because he's not relenting. Nothing's changed. He hasn't. Nothing has gotten better. It's only gotten worse over the last month. And at some point, Cal McNair is going to have to sit there and look at Deshaun Watson's agent, Javid Mulugeta, and say, "Okay, tell us. Okay, what's the package out there? Like, you know, hunt it. If you can find 3 first-round picks, maybe it becomes like a Jalen Ramsey situation, where even though the owner doesn't want to give him up, the return is to the point where it's just like, look, we're not. This is the best we're going to get, and the guy doesn't want to be here. We got to do something."
Okay. Well, how does it end? I want your prediction. You promised us a couple weeks ago, per my inaccurate tweet, that Arthur Smith was not going to get a head coaching job. So,
promise? That was a promise? Now it's a promise.
Good Lord, Joe.
I told you, per my inaccurate tweet.
Yeah, a couple other jobs also opened after I ran my mouth off. So, you know, Doug Peterson getting fired. I mean, anyway, whatever. Yeah, it wasn't a great call, obviously, Arthur Smith. It turned out, by the way, Brian Daboll maybe wasn't in the field after all.
The Bills fanboys are going to be up in arms. Well, the Bills fanboys are they're probably not going to come back and apologize. No, but in all seriousness, I mean, do you think – because I still – you know, we've seen some situations like this where, you know, still in the end like it just can't work out, or they're not going to move him. Do you think he does get moved? And if you had to pick a team, Niners, Dolphins, anyone that really stands out to you?
I mean, if you want to talk about who has the ammunition and the motivation, I mean, I think the Jets. You know, the Jets. It's clear that the Jets would like. You know, I think the Jets. It'll be interesting to see how the evaluation of Sam Darnold goes now, because I think when they were focused in on Trevor Lawrence and thought they were going to have the number one pick, the thought process inside the franchise was Sam needs it. Like, they didn't kill Sam Darnold. That was the interesting thing. Like, they were very careful about, you know, really not disparaging him. They're just like, look, we feel like he probably needs a fresh start. Like, he's gone through a lot here. The Adam Gase thing has not been easy on him. And it would, you know, he's still got the talent we thought he did, but we really need a fresh start outside the organization. So I think the litany of draft picks that the Jets have, the idea that if Sam Darnold, his evaluation is not where it needs to be against some of these other quarterbacks, whether it's Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or whoever, and you could use that second pick on him, Watson's obviously the commodity that you would want to get. And salary-wise, because, you know, some of the guarantees are going to accelerate for the Texans if they were to trade him, his salary is not great, but it's not necessarily horrific for knowing the known commodity you're going to get. Now, the question is, can you build out the rest of the team? Because I think the Jets' offensive roster is worse than the Texans. So he would have to, he would have to agree to a trade to the Jets, and that would complicate things. I think he does want to go to Miami. I don't know. I don't know about Miami. I mean, for them to pull on Tua that quickly, I think the deal would have to be not as one-sided as it might be if you're dealing with a team like the Jets. I do think the Rams are going to look to see if they can improve on Jared Goff. I do think that the 49ers are going to look to see if they can improve on Jimmy Garoppolo. Drew Brees retires. You know, Taysom Hill is supposed to be the guy who takes the reins there, but again, I would be surprised if there wasn't some poking around by the Saints. So I think there are going to be a number of teams that have great offensive coaches who really want the most dynamic quarterback they can possibly find, and that's going to be Watson. So in terms of a prediction, I tend to point out where the cap can make it work and the ammunition is there. So the Jets have that. The Miami Dolphins have that if Houston is interested in Tua. And, you know, I think that those are probably the two destinations that make a little bit more sense. And he would be amenable to going to a place like Miami.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, last thing for you here. Obviously, the conference championship weekend coming up, the Packers and the Bucks in the NFC, the Bills and the Chiefs in the AFC. What's the more intriguing matchup to you, and who do you think winds up in the Super Bowl?
They're both great games. I mean, they're great games for different reasons. You know, I think that if for the Chiefs, if there's one team you're kind of scared of, you're a little nervous about, it's the Bills. Because, I mean, the way that the Bills defense played to advance into this game, the season that Josh Allen had, the looseness in that organization. I mean, the Bills, that's one of the weird things is when you talk to people in that organization, they're just not uptight about being in the situation, which you would think they would be, but I think they feel like they're ahead of schedule. Like they weren't, I don't think they felt like, hey, we're really going to be on the doorstep of the Super Bowl at this point, but things have gone great. All these moves have worked out, and no one is sitting here feeling like if we don't win in this situation, we've choked something away. So, you know, conversely, you have Kansas City. I think there is I don't want to say tightness in the organization, but the health of Patrick Mahomes. I think they know that, you know, this has been a season where they've overcome a lot of different things that have happened in the organization as far as, you know, injuries, close calls, everybody's giving them their best shot. So I'd say the pressure is probably more on Kansas City. That puts a lot of intrigue on that game. And then when you just look at Brady and Rodgers, to have two guys, 43 and 37 in a game like this, playing at the level that those two are, and the season of perfection for Aaron Rodgers, that's just been amazing. Either of those teams advances, and that's going to be the storyline of the Super Bowl. I don't think it's going to be the AFC side. I think this is the NFC year where we're sitting there going, how did this guy make it? How did he put this season together, whether it's Tom and the Buccaneers or Aaron and the Packers? So for the year everybody went through, fans, teams, all the pandemic mess, everything, to get to this point where no matter what happens now moving forward, I think people are going to have a lot of fun watching football. And this is probably the best case scenario the NFL could have asked for.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Charles, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Sorry about the noise today.
No, I thought you're all good. Charles Robinson, one of the best in the business, who joins us every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what he had to say here, and make sure you're tuning in all hour long. You'll have your chance to win a pair of Predators tickets tonight to take on the Carolina Hurricanes at Bridgestone Arena. Just be listening for the cue to call, and you'll have your opportunity to win. All that coming up, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.